Welcome to Heritage Fellowship's Sermon of the Week. We hope you're encouraged and challenged as we study the Word of God together. This special edition podcast comes from our annual Overflow Conference. For more information, please connect with us online at heritagefellowship.us/overflow.
Matthew 3, verse 17. As you know, as he was baptized, the Father affirmed him, and we have account of this in three of the Gospels, but we'll look at it here, verse 16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Or in other versions, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He also affirmed Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter and James were, and John were with him, and he was transfigured or transformed right before them, as a portent of his exaltation in his glorious heavenly body. Again, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," but he added a phrase, which was, "Listen to him." So we see several needs being met here in Jesus as a person, which we also have need of. First of all, he was accepted. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You're mine. You're accepted. He was also shown affection. This is my beloved, the Son I love, one who's the object of my love. He also met the need of affirmation. I'm well pleased. You're doing a great job. And finally, he met his need to have authority to do what he was doing. God said, "Listen to him." So, acceptance, affirmation, affection, and authority. So, Jesus Christ is the beloved of God. What we're doing here is we're laying a foundation to bring us into that same posture. So, the Heavenly Father loves the Son. It's been that way forever. It will continue to be that way. So, keep in mind, Jesus Christ here is the beloved one. That is the object of the Father's love. As we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, we make the transition to being identified with that same love. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. In other words, God had the plan that all of humanity would be drawn into his love, into his family. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to him through Christ. He is the way. He is the only way. He's the way to the Father. When we come home, that's where the Father is. We come home through Jesus. Going on, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So, we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. We're included in the Beloved. So let's put this together. God so loved that he gave his Son, he poured out his love upon him, and he has included us in the Beloved. So we are in the Beloved who have come to trust in Christ as our way of having union with God. Why don't we just declare this together? We are in the Beloved. We are in the Beloved. We are the Beloved. We are the Beloved. So God so loved that he gave. Now, in Matthew 26:26, if we would turn there again, Jesus uses bread as a way of representing his body. It's this Last Supper. He's making a new covenant with us, an agreement to partner, an agreement that what he has, he's given to us, if we'll just give him what we have. Really, an imbalanced covenant, but a covenant that is known where the greater it gives the lesser more than the lesser gives the greater. So, he is making this covenant, and he takes bread during this meal. Let's read about it in 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." So let's follow his logic. The bread he's using as a representation of his body, and what he's doing is what he's talking about is going to happen to his literal body. You know, we had to have a human being, a human life given in order to redeem us. It couldn't be an angel. It needed to be a human being. And Jesus, we know, is that person. So keep in mind, bread represents the body. How is bread formed? Well, many, many grains, individual grains, are crushed and molded together to create a new loaf. All of that individuality is poured into a new identity, which we call bread. To break the bread, then, is honoring all of that individuality being there for this special purpose of representing Christ. There are four things that we see in this passage that Jesus did with the bread. He first of all took the bread. He chose the bread. Now, his body was the literal body that he lived in and gave as a sacrifice. But today, his body is all of us who believe in him. Some are here on earth. Some are already in heaven. His body is a glorified body in heaven, and we are his body through our belief in what he has done for us. We now can see ourselves as being the bread. So we are the body of Christ. We are the bread. Watch what he does with it, because he did that for us to be expressed in the same way. Got the logic? Here we go. He first of all took it, or chose it. What do we experience when we are chosen? I invite your responses to this. What do we experience when we're chosen? Acceptance, anticipation of what it's for, yes. And gratitude, it's satisfying. Loved, valued, included. Again, valued, wanted, validated. So this is a good thing. To be chosen gives us a sense of identity and purpose, that someone is seeing that value in us. So there's that sense of being special. And each of us, because we come through Christ to the Father, have this sense of experiencing being chosen, that we are personally, specifically special in his eyes, because we are the beloved. But it's amazing how God chooses us, that it doesn't exclude anyone else. It's like we feel his personal attention to us, and everyone else can experience the same thing. So his sense of choosing is supernaturally inclusive, where each part of that bread, each part of that grain that has lost its identity to be in Christ, is honored again by his special choosing. To be chosen is also to be set apart for a particular purpose. It's to be distinct or unique for some reason. So as you face spiritual battles over your identity, over your sense of worth and value, keep in mind that you are in the beloved. You are chosen. This would be a good thing to say when you're feeling, who am I? Am I loved? Am I valued? Do I have worth? Do I have purpose? Remember, you have been chosen. I am the chosen of God, would be a helpful thing to say in that moment. So he not only took or chose the bread, but he then blessed the bread. To bless, of course, is to speak well of something or someone, to speak of a desirable future, to call forth what they are, what they can become, by using that name over and over again. We think of it in prophetic ministry. That is a blessing. We're speaking of a desirable future for that person. That's why when we encourage one another with our words of blessing, we are a part of the very purpose of God to cause that person to become all they can become. In fact, why don't we do that right now? So I invite you to stand. And eyes open and looking around. sense where the Lord would be drawing you to some person preferably that you know, or maybe you just get an impression you'd like to share something with someone you don't know, but go to that person and speak a blessing over them. It could be from a passage of scripture. It could be something we're already hearing here this afternoon. But let's just take a few minutes and be sure to bless one person. And be open to receiving a blessing from someone. Father, thank you for leading us where you would have us to be, to impart your blessing and your value on those who are in the Beloved. Father, for each of these blessings, each of these expressions of words that put heart, mind, and soul into the lives of another, we say, Amen. There's another way that blessing comes to us, and that's when we personally quiet our souls and listen for the Lord to speak to us. So it's important that we take time to simply listen before the Lord and invite him to speak what he would say to us. Sometimes journaling helps, and those you who are journaling, you know, you write a question, the Lord gives you an answer. That's the type of thing we're thinking about. Why don't we do that right now? Let's spend a few moments just listening. Whether we hear anything or not, we're saying, Lord, I'm here before you. I am blessed. And I wait on you. If you have something more to say, I'd love to receive it. But otherwise, I'm just giving you my attention. Lord, one day in your court is better than thousands elsewhere. Thank you for these moments just to attend to your voice in your presence. Thank you. If anyone wishes to share an impression you got, you're welcome to. You're welcome, not required. You're welcome. What I heard was, love these people with the gentleness of wisdom. So I'm taking that as a blessing that I may do that. So we've established that God so loved that he gave. And Jesus now is making a new covenant where with the bread that he's identifying with as his body, and we are his body, he took the bread, he blessed it, and then he broke it. I believe this is a big part of what he wants to do here this afternoon for us to dwell in this place. The thought here is that our brokenness, our difficult life experiences, the pressures we go under, the difficulties that we encounter, are also a unique part of what shapes our life. Part of our identity is the way we have suffered. Part of our identity is the way we've handled losses. You know, there are certain things you can only know about God from the vantage point of having been in a difficult place. in that place, you learn to know God in a way that you would not have known God apart from that. Isn't that a blessing? So what, as I felt the Lord was saying earlier today, we're to sanctify our suffering. It now fits with this as well. So painful experiences, limitations, the impact of broken relationships, how shall we respond to that? We may first feel embarrassed or shame because something's broken. Something did not go the way it was supposed to go. But the way to redeem that in as the beloved and as the bread that is broken by Christ is to befriend it. That is, to make friends with it in a sense of coming to terms with it. This is part of my life experience. I embrace it. So the more we are willing to embrace it, the less we have to navigate and negotiate with, why did God let this happen? Or why did it happen to me? That's a natural question. I'm reading through Job right now, and you know, one of the first things people do when things fall apart is say, God, why didn't you do something about this? Or why don't you do something now? In other words, the impact is to somehow separate us from the very one who loves us most. So by befriending it, that is by acknowledging this is reality. This is where I am. This is where I need the love of God. We're not glorifying suffering, but we're actually coming to know God in a way that we can glorify God. Every place in the New Testament where it speaks of suffering, in that same context or the same verse as we've organized the scriptures, it also includes the glory of God, the honor of God. In other words, we're entering into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit and experiencing their grace, their honor, their love for us in the midst of that difficult thing. It can be easy to say this when we're not going through that, but all of us have had some painful experience, some more devastating than others. We can recognize that. But the point of it is, our brokenness is a place where Christ is revealed. Remember the day that he was raised from the dead and was walking with the grieving disciples to Emmaus, and they invited him in. When he broke the bread at the meal, they knew who he was. It was a revelation of him. So we can experience a revelation, a revelation of Christ in the midst of these things. When things are taken from us or stolen from us, we can change the perspective on that to say, I give it away. I've shared in this setting before, but a prominent minister was walking through the airport in Hawaii and discovered someone had stolen his camera. And he immediately says, nobody's stealing from me. I give them that camera. it's the change of perspective. Give it. So we are taken, we are blessed, we are broken. At this point, I'd like to acknowledge that Henri Nouwen, an author, writes about this, the life of the beloved, and has highlighted these four steps of what Jesus did. So we are taken or chosen, we are blessed, and we are broken. Broken by life's experiences, but embodied then to honor Christ as God. And finally, the bread was given to the disciples. So we are chosen, we are blessed, we are broken in order to be given. It's the nature of God to give out of oneself to another. So as God is working in us, we likewise embrace the same posture of being given to the benefit of others. Our fulfillment comes from giving ourselves to others. Who can we be for others? Who would the Lord have us be ourselves or be his loved ones for others? Having just been chosen and blessed feels pretty good. Broken makes us really look at ourselves and perhaps get self-oriented. But all of this, I have, but thank you. All of this is to move from a self-focus to an other focus. To give. There are two ways of looking at this. One, we give through our activities in life, our service, our abilities, our time, our love. We're giving in that way, but also being given in death. When we die, what is the influence, the legacy, the impact that remains? What is the character that we've poured into other people? What is the discipleship that we've done that will continue from generation to generation? This short span in eternity and everlasting is designed to set things in motion by our interaction with the Lord that are to continue from generation to generation. And so many times we're trying to hold on to life as it is here, and we are missing the significance of intentionally preparing a legacy to give that goes on and on and on. For example, it might be a song you write that's sung 20 years after your death. It might be a book that you write. It might be a character trait that you so firmly establish in your family line that the next generation and the next generation and the next generation have that strength and that quality. The point of this is our life is given as we live, and our life goes on even after our physical death. The fruit of our lives can continue throughout eternity. So, God so loved that he gave. Jesus, the beloved, gave himself for us, so we love by a life given. How do we give our lives? It's basically letting everything we do be done out of the truth that we are loved. living out of the truth that we are in the Beloved. Living out of the truth that we are loved. I think we need that to sink in. Let's say that together. I'll say it and we can repeat it. Living by the truth that we are loved. Living by the truth that we are loved. There are basically four dimensions of how we interact with love. Loving God, loving others, loving ourselves, and receiving God's love. That sometimes is a difficult one of those four, may be a challenge at any one part of our life, but for some people, receiving God's love is very, very difficult. That's what I think the Lord's touching here this afternoon. We are in the Beloved. We are loved by God. We are loved in order to give and show love. So think of this not so much as, I mean, they are the two greatest commandments, but think of this not so much as something we have to do, but that is flowing out of us because we are in Christ, we are in the Beloved. This is how we are chosen, blessed. Our brokenness is offered to the Lord to be sanctified and used, and then we give out of that. So again, we are the body of Christ here on the earth right now. When he used bread to represent his body, let's think of ourselves, therefore, as the bread that is taken, blessed, broken, and offered to others. Our lives following that pattern. This afternoon, let's celebrate this truth with communion. The Eucharist is another name for this, and Eucharist means thanksgiving. So, with thanksgiving that we are in the Beloved, and with a sense of we are here to be given to others, we want to participate in this. It's saying yes to a life given. It's time. It's time. Let's get on board. Heavy levity. Rather than taking this today as Christ is out there somewhere and he gave his body and blood, we are his body and we are being given. So we'll spend a few moments in reflection here, thinking, in what way is the Lord prompting me to be more intentional in giving myself? Might even be something you're just being prompted to do today. We're basically saying, yes, I am the bread. Yes, I am a life that is given. Or you might also be thinking, how can I be investing in others that leaves a legacy after my death? Or you may be thanking the Lord for a legacy of someone who gave, that you're now living in the blessing. Even though they've passed away, you're living in the blessing of what they've given to you. As we celebrate this truth, it's going to set in motion a sensitivity that we are daily living out of being loved. So let's spend a few moments just reflecting, asking the Lord, in what way can I consciously do this as an expression of saying yes to a life? Yes, my life is given. Father, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we pray that you would simply give us a whisper to us, a word or impression that our receiving of your love by faith and partaking of these elements as an expression of actually drawing the life of Christ to give ourselves as he has given his body. We wait on you to show us. Let us make this confession together. We are the beloved of God. We receive his love. God so loved that he gave. Jesus loved, so he gave. We love, and so we give. We say yes to a life given. Let's partake of the bread as we meditate on that. And again, he said, take this cup, drink from it, all of you, for it represents the shedding of his blood for the many, for others. Let's partake again with the posture of yes to a life poured out. Hold your empty cup. This cup has served us well. It represents a life given, but it's still a unique vessel. Can be filled again. So Holy Spirit, we ask you would fill us day by day by day to be poured out, to be given. We say yes to a life given. Together, we say yes to a life given.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please join us online at heritagefellowship.us or in person in Jefferson City, Tennessee, as we encounter God, touch lives, and impact nations.